I don't know if you realize, but God has his own vision for your life. God has a plan for you. And I want us to look in this scripture in Revelation chapter 25. I want to begin right here because he's got a plan for every single one of us and a picture that I want you to get in your heart of what he's seeing and the ultimate hope, the blessed hope. Pastor Rich preached on that last week on heaven, great message. And it says this beginning in verse 5, that he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Meaning every place that you've been discouraged, where life just stinks, he's going to wipe it all away. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. The old order, it's important to see the old order because I'm going to show you what that old order is in a little bit, of things has passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Everybody shout new. You know, this picture, that verse is powerful because, you know, that was God's intention for humanity before sin happened, that he wanted us to experience that. But now we have the blessed hope in heaven that one day we will experience that. And those that have a relationship with the Lord, and that the last part of that verse is so powerful because that's the first words that you're going to hear Jesus say in heaven. I am making everything new. I love that. I love new things. Isaiah 43 challenges us in this to forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. Be alert. Be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? Remember, we live in an unseen world. God is doing things that you cannot see yet. The key is for you and I to have the faith to believe that he's doing it. That he knows better than you and I do. And so, how many like the word new? How many like new stuff? Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you're human if you don't like new stuff. And some of y'all got some new clothes maybe or something new around Christmas time and maybe you're rocking it today, you know. Everybody likes something new, maybe a new car, that sort of thing. But you realize that God loves to do new things and do something new in our life. And I think very few people, though, experience that new that God is talking about. I think too many people haven't approached God with the concept of new. And so most of us, I think what has happened sometimes is that we kind of have gotten stuck somewhere along the journey in religion or even with church with this concept that God will just come into my messed up life and make some improvements and that be it. And so I think what's happened is we've resigned to the fact that, because we all have issues, we all have things we're working on, right, everybody? And so we all got things that we're working through. But I think we've resigned to the fact that I'll never really be who I want to be. I'm just going to kind of just go through life. This is the way it is. I'll always have this struggle, always be. And we just have really a defeated mentality. But can I tell you that God has more for your life than you just surviving? But he wants you to thrive in his plan and his purpose for your life. Amen, everybody? And so we get stuck in this and just thinking that, well, I'll just get through and then one day, when I get to heaven, it'll all be worked out and I don't have to worry about anything anymore. And so I think many of us have come to this place feeling like that you can't ever be brand new. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about becoming new. Come on, everybody shout, new. It's all about becoming new. It's why most people fail in their New Year's resolutions. Do you realize that 80% of people that have New Year's resolutions will have failed them by mid-February? Because, listen, the goal cannot be you trying to improve you. That's not the plan. God, listen to me, everybody. God is not trying to improve you. He wants to make you new. And so we get messed up with this thinking, if I just do this and I just do that and I just, and notice all the eyes, eyes, eyes. Well, it's not about you. God desires to work for you. And we've just got to rest and surrender our life and let him lead. Listen, you know, you'll have less problems in your life if you let God lead. I'm just telling you. So, man, that's easier said than done. But you have to practice. You got to walk it out. And you've got to trust that God is God and that this book and what he's saying is true and full of life, full of wisdom, full of direction. It's not outdated, everybody. It's alive. It's moving. It's working. I'm going to talk to you more about that in a minute. But I think we try to improve ourselves. And have you ever heard the gimmick? New and improved, baby. You see it on commercials. New and improved. How many have ever seen that before? They're lying to you. It ain't new. It's just been improved. All right, hogwash. That ain't new. You know, when I see that, I just laugh. I'm thinking, liars. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking it's just not true. Stop it. All right. And so, but some of us, I think, have lowered our expectations in 2016. And because I think a lot of the reason is why is because in previous years, we've tried to do this. We've made goals for this, tried to do that. And so the past 3 or 4 years, it just not worked out and I'm still where I'm at. Because there hasn't truly been change. And that has everything to do with your heart, everybody. That has everything to do with your relationship with Jesus. I want to show you a few New Year's resolutions that have gone wrong, all right? All right, let's show the New Year's resolutions gone wrong. Here we go, let's put it up. 2014, maybe you can you know, kind of identify with some of this. I will work out 5 days a week. Then 2015, you say, well, I'll work out 3 days a week at least. And then this year, your New Year's resolution is, well, I'll just try to drive past the gym at least once a week. Just try to drive past it. I won't go, but okay. Next one, 2014. So I'm going to read at least 10 books a year. That's pretty good. Pretty good goal. 2015 says, well, I'll just try to finish the last book that I started. In 2016, I'll just try and finish the comic section this year. Glory to God. Amen. Here's one more for you. All right, 2014, I'm going to pay off my bank loan this year. Great goal. 2015 comes along. I will pay off my bank loans this year. Notice there's more than one now, all right? And then 2016, my goal is to be out of the country by the end of the year, all right? Glory to God. That's funny. I don't care what you say. All right, that's funny right there. But here's the question everybody asks. Here it is. Kyle, why is things not changing? Why am I not seeing the change that I want? What needs to happen? Like, why is it? I believe here's why. That it's because you've tried taking the old you and improving it. And it does not work. You cannot maintain you. You can't. That's why if that were the case, then we wouldn't need God. But we need God because we can't maintain us. We need all the help we can get. Amen. We need all the wisdom, all the strength, all the healing, and that's only going to be provided for God. So you have to answer the question, am I going to become new this year or just continue down this same old path and trying to improve? I love how Scripture says this, the definition of a Christian. This is so good. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, when someone becomes a Christian... I read that this week because I know there's a lot of people that have a lot of definitions of what they think a Christian is. We won't go there, but I'm going to go to the book and what it defines a Christian to be. And it says he becomes a brand new person inside. He is not the same anymore because new life has begun. Old things are gone. Behold, everything that God does is new. And I'm telling you, with his creative power and what God wants to do in your life, buckle in if you'll let God be God in your life. But my fear is this, that many of our spiritual experiences that we have had in our journey are things that have taken place externally and not internally. And so we've tried to define God or define church or by what we have seen, but things in our heart and our life really hasn't changed. It's interesting that 78% of Americans in this country label themselves as a Christian. Watch this. But only 7% of the 78% said that their lives have actually been changed. That's a problem. And it's because there's not been movement from the inside out. And I've got news, everybody, that real Christianity is about a brand new life. It's about God making you new. And I'm going to show you today how we're going to do that and in this series. But something that I've said in our church for a while, I continue to say, the only thing constant around here for us as pastors, leaders, staff is change. Like, don't get comfortable. Don't. Get comfortable with change. I believe that ought to be our life motto, is let change be your friend. Embrace it in your life. And I believe this, that not only can the same be said for our life, but that's why I believe New Year's resolutions are whack. My pastor just said whack. Yes, I did, all right? Because you don't need a resolution because it doesn't work. What you need is a revolution, a complete change of life. You don't need to turn a new leaf. You need a new life. And that's what we need. And so new direction, new decisions. Come on, everybody say new direction,
new direction.
New decisions.
New decisions.
And so I believe that you can approach life in one of three ways. I want to look at this in our notes. First of all, jot this down, as we can either are changing from the outside in or changing from the inside out. But the truth is that you can only change from the inside out. And I want you to hear this, because this is really important. 2016 will be the, listen, 2016 will be the greatest year of your life if it is the best year of your life spiritually. And people want to talk, man, I'm believing for a great year, but you can't have a great year without God being invited in your life every day. Every day. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. He's a jealous God. Man, he is craving time with you. He's your best friend, wants to be. But it'll be the best year of your life in 2016 if it's the best year of your life spiritually. Because what happens to you spiritually affects every other area of your life. So in other words, don't start with your diet first. Start with God first. Yeah. Don't start with rearranging your schedule first. Start with God first, who can help you manage your schedule, manage your diet, manage your spending. All right? Doing something different or being someone different. Choice is yours. You got to make that decision. What's that going to look for you? Look like for you in this year? Or here's the last one: improving the old you or becoming a new you. And that's really what I'm proposing in this message to you guys today, is I think that too many people haven't experienced the new, and I want to help. It'll be the best year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. Philippians 3, chapter 3. And actually, I'm gonna get some peeps to help me. Come on up, Melissa. Chad Muncy, will you grab that end? Melissa, if you'll grab right here. Darwin, come here, man. Grab the end of that right there, that rope bum. All right, you guys just hang right there and wait for my direction, all right? I want to read a couple scriptures to you. First of all, Philippians 3, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." Paul got it right here, y'all. He said, "I press on towards the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." Here's a verse. When I was praying this week and praying for this illustration I'm going to show you, I spent some time on this next verse in Psalm chapter 90 and verse 10. Go ahead and put it up, guys. It says, "The years of your life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. All right? So you need to see how much time you have here on earth versus eternity, and eternity is forever. So we have at least 70, maybe 80, but anything above 70 is really just bonus points. I want you to think about this. In verse 12, it's not in your notes, same chapter, Psalm 90, as I was just stewing over this, it says this: "Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom." So the psalmist is saying, God, teach us to grow, to understand how short this life is, so that we can grow in wisdom, so that we can grow and fully mature in what you've called us to do and be great men and women of God, of character and purpose. And then James says it this way. This is out of the New Living. This is good. Last scripture, not in your notes here. James 4:14 says, "Your life, yours and mine, is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone." And I want to show you this today because I think this is so powerful, and I think that we need to see this as what it is. Because we buy into the lie or the deception that it's all about this earth. And people will spend their lives trying to make all the money they can, go on all the vacations they can. And I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting to do those things, but if it consumes you more than God consumes you, there lies the problem. God doesn't mind if you have stuff, as long as your stuff doesn't have you. But it's what happens. Let me see this end real quick. What happens is we spend so little time in this red tape. Everybody see that red tape on the end? There's not much to it. That represents your and I's life on earth, the short time. And the rest of this rope, all the way down to the end, represents the millions of years you'll spend in eternity. But yet we get so focused on this little bit, so consumed, so deceived. When we're here today, gone tomorrow. This isn't a scare tactic. This is to help us realize and grow an understanding that God wants to use whatever time that you have left to use it for his plan and his purpose and his glory. Because guess what? You only get one chance at this life, everybody. One shot. Just kind of hold it up just so they can see it. There you go. They're doing great, aren't they? But you only have one chance at this life. And you can spend your life any way that you want. But can I encourage you to spend it for God? You know, I used to have people say to me, especially when I was young in ministry, and I wasn't in full-time ministry, so I was working a job. I was working at the airport. I used to have people tell me, Kyle, you're stupid. Like, you're stupid. You're young. Dude, live it up. I thought, no, you're stupid. Listen to me. Because this is all we have left. And I don't know about you, but whenever it is at my funeral, I don't want people looking at the watch saying, man, what time is it? It's time to go. I'm hoping my legacy of my life will be said, man, he was a guy that loved God and loved people and wanted to help people come out from darkness and into light. You don't have to be in full-time ministry, be a pastor to impact the life of somebody else. God wants to use you right where you're at. You can be on the job. You can be in the school. You can be sweeping the carpet. Whatever it is that God has for you, he wants to use you to impact the life of someone else. It's your responsibility. God is looking for worshipers and people that won't just stay on the bench, but say, I'm going to get in the game and be a part of the answer in the world today. And the answer is Jesus. The hope for Fort Wayne, this state of Indiana, this nation, and this world still is Jesus, the undefeated one. So I realize my time is up on this, okay? But I realize I've got all these years and eternity. All these years. Look at this. Eternity, forever, forever. And I refuse to be driven and just live my life by this a little bit. Ain't happening. All right, give them a hand. I told you in Revelation, there said there is an old system that had passed away. Hebrews chapter 10. God had an old covenant, the law, the Old Testament system. And in that time, you sinned. When you sinned, you would fix your sin in that time by sacrificing animals and their blood of the animal would cover the sin. So the sin was never removed, but it was just covered in that time. But the problem that occurred is that people still felt guilty in that time. And God looked at that and said, there's got to be a better way. It says this, verse 16, this is the covenant I will make with them after that time, says the Lord. He's saying this, I'm not going to give them a bunch of commandments, rules, and just shout at them, obey, obey, obey. No, I will put my laws in their hearts. You got to get this. In other words, he's not going to tell you to do right. He's going to make you right. And if you're that person today that when you look at the Bible and say, man, this is hard. It may be because it's not in you yet. And if you try to follow, listen, man, if you try to follow God by just obeying rules, you're going to have a miserable life. Because God is so much more. And he wants to make you new. And it goes on to say, and I will write them on their minds. This is so good. Meaning, so you don't, again, you don't do right, you become right. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. The old system couldn't cleanse the heart of you, the heart of a worshiper. And I think maybe that's why we struggle. Some people struggle with church. Some people struggle with prayer. They struggle with the word. They think, man, this is just, it's too hard. But what you need is change from the inside out. I want to show you how. Glad you asked that question. Here we go. Hebrews chapter 10, continuing now in verse 19. Therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore. Anytime you see the word therefore, you got to know why it's therefore. There's my cheesy preacher joke of the day. All right. Therefore, if you want to be changed from the inside out, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us. Everybody say, let us. There's four lettuces. All right, there's four of them. I'm going to point them out. It's going to be part of my points here. Points today are straight from this verse of scripture. Let us draw near, because you can't follow God at a distance. Draw near, get close to him. Draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. You know, the greatest decision that you could make for 2016 is to get as close to Jesus as you possibly can. It will affect your family. It'll affect your spending. It'll affect your diet. It'll affect every area of your life. Worship him more. Serve him. Give him your heart. Love him more. Know him more. Then here's the second let us. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Saying, meaning this, hold on to the promises of God. You've got to realize this word, this Bible is powerful. There's power in this. This book, listen everybody, is not normal. It's not. Caution, it'll change your life. It's not normal. I love what Hebrews 4 talks about it. It says that it's living. It's active. It does surgery on your heart. You and I must have this book in us. Now just talk about it. It's got to get in us. And so I believe this. If you want to change, you've got to get the promises of God. You've got to know what his word is saying to you. If you want to just keep trying harder, try to continue to improve, knock yourself out. Or if you want to step into that new covenant and be changed from the inside out, get close to Jesus. Here's the third let us, and it says this, let us then consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Oh, this is good. Are you saying, God, that the secret to personal growth is actually helping someone else? Yep. That's exactly what he's saying. In other words, if you want real life change, a part of that actual change takes place when you make the decision that I'm not going to live my life for me. I'm going to live my life to be a blessing, to serve and make an impact on people. Not worrying about me anymore. I'm going to spur other people on. And a lot of people aren't growing because you're focused on you. And as soon as you say, man, I'm going to live my life to impact others, you're going to see tremendous growth, health, change, and even healing on the inside of you. And here's the fourth lettuce. It says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The Bible is saying the reason why some of us are not growing spiritually is because we've left out something that God has intended for your spiritual growth. And it's part of it simply this, not just coming to church, big church on Sundays, but God is talking about joining in relationship with people, which is what we do with small groups, is getting connected with people and doing life together. with people. Listen, you will not grow spiritually. Listen to me. You will not grow, you will not change if you leave people out of the process. I am not where I am today had it not been for people past, present, and future. I'm thankful for the men and women today that speak in my life, that call me on the phone, check on me, people I can be honest with and talk to. I'm thankful for that kind of people in my life and accountability. And so the points that I'm giving you are straight from this scripture, and I'm going to ask them in a form question, all right? So this is how I'm going to do this. So the first, let us, was the scripture said, let us draw near. So the first question I want to ask you is, and to make this personal, it's not between me and you, it's between you and God, am I worshiping intimately? Jot that down. Because for some of us, God is just God, but he's not your friend. God is saying, I want to know you intimately. I want to know you personally. John 4:23, it says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Notice that. He's looking for worshipers. Worship in the Greek is the Greek word proskuno, which just means kiss. And it's not the kind of kiss of lovers. It's the, how many of y'all got dogs out there? This is my example, all right? I did this in the other one, other service. It's the kind of kiss that when you come home after a long day, I used to come in, my dog would run around, and then jump up and just lick my face. It's that kind of kiss, all right? Worship is love expressed. That's what worship is. Worship is love expressed. And so God is saying, I'm seeking worshipers. Not just attending church or giving. I'm seeking after worshipers. People that love me with everything in me. I remember being in my worship times. It took me some time to grow in it, especially in my public worship, man. Like, I used to watch other people do this. You know, there came a time where I made the decision one day, I'm going to come and lift my hands partially. I'm not going all in yet. Scared to death. And so I just started carrying the TV where it was at. Carrying the TV. Then I got up a little higher, you know, kind of washed the windows a little bit, you know. And then I got comfortable. There's a time I didn't want to do it. I was scared to death. But when we lift our hands, it's not for show. It's just saying, God, we surrender our lives to you. That's what that's declaring, everybody. It's not being weird, all right? John 4:8 says, come near to God and he's going to come near to you. Second, let us said, hold unswervingly to the promises of God. Ask yourself this question, am I feeding daily? Am I feeding daily? Powerful verse, life verse right here, Joshua 1:8, for you and your family. You ready? It says, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then, everybody say then. Yeah. Come on, everybody say then. Yeah. There you go. You will be prosperous and successful. But you want to be prosperous and successful when you do what? When you meditate on this. When his word gets in you. All right, here's what I want everybody to do. Everybody just grab your phone. All right. Welcome to Elevate City Church. All right. All right. And if you don't have a smartphone and you can't do this, you can go to our tech guys and they'll help you with this. But my challenge is for us as a church to get the word in us more this year than ever. And so I want to challenge you. And on your phone, all right, because all God's people has an iPhone, all right, amen. Just mess and relax, all right. So I'm going App Store, whatever it is you get your apps or whatever. App Store for me, you type in search, you type in the Bible. And then we'll pull down the Bible app. And so here's what I'm challenging you guys. I want you to journey with me in this. And I did this in first service, and it was powerful. My phone literally blew up as I was preaching. So I'm hoping it blows up again with you. I started a couple days ago, but you can start today. Is to join me on the one-year Bible plan. Join me. For this year, getting the Bible in you. And it takes, if you do the one-year Bible on the YouVersion Bible app, it takes about 15 minutes to just go through and read some scriptures. But you know what I was thinking this week? Imagine a church full of people, man, reading the word together, praying together. Boy, Imagine what we could do. Hell won't want to mess with us. I'm telling you that right now. Because the word is growing. And so I just encourage you. You can send me a friend request. Kyle Mills, send it. And we'll all stay accountable together. And it can tell you that, you know, that you're on there reading it and through the apps and everything. Now I got somebody to text me. All right, glory to God. But anyways, get the app. Here are the requests come through. And that's awesome. And let that be a part of your lifestyle and getting the word in you. And by the end of the year, you've read the Bible through a year. It's awesome. So I encourage you to do that. There it is. New people right now, all of a sudden. Yep, there it is. Awesome, you guys. That's what I'm talking about. And so then change happens when you draw near. You get the word in you. His word's going to do what? It's going to change you. Psalm 119 said, it's your word that is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. You're only as smart as you. That's why you need his wisdom, his direction. Anytime I make decisions, I go to this. Because I'm not that smart. I need all of his wisdom and his help. But his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light in my path so I know exactly where I'm going. Amen? Y'all here today? Number three, let us spur one another to love and do good deeds is asking the question, am I serving faithfully? I'm telling you, if you will ever get on the team, you'll be amazed what God will start doing in your life. Get on the dream team. Join us in Growth Track right after this service. Can I tell you something cool? When you are serving and making a difference in the life of someone, it does more for you than it does for the person. And you experience so much through it. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he's received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Here's what that means. Some of us are called to sweep floors. Some of us are called to help park cars. Some of us are called to teach kids. Some of us are called to play a guitar. But you have a gift. Every one of you has a gift. That's why we do Growth Track, is to help people discover that and encourage you then to connect and move into the purpose of God for your life. And I want to just say this, and I want you to hear my heart. I'm not fussing at anybody. But every time that you choose not to use it, it affects all of us. I'm serious. We need your gift. And when you're not doing it, it's missing. And we're better with you. We need you. And I believe that there's even people through ministry, entrepreneurship, all these different things, that God is calling you to launch. It's time to come off the bench and get in the game. And one of the things that we don't do is we don't pressure people here at Elevate, but as your pastor and my messages, there's going to be some Sundays like today. I am going to encourage you. I'm going to challenge you because there's more in you than what you're seeing. And I'm convinced that when people serve in a cause, they discover their cause, but they also discover healing in their life. And let God be God in your life. And here's the last one. Let us not give up meeting together, which is asking the last question, am I connecting regularly? Am I connecting? February 7th is our rally day for small groups. January 17th, coming up in a couple weeks, is our orientation for small group leaders. You're going to hear at the end of service next week just a little bit from our small group leaders, Buddy and Cassandra Johnson. And we're just believing for the greatest semester we've ever seen. And for God to not only continue to raise up leaders, but for you to connect in a small group. Listen to me, guys. Every one of us needs to connect because every one of us has things that we're dealing with and we have real issues. But listen, we need a place and a people where everybody knows your name. That's why our small groups are so important. That's where our discipleship takes place through the weeks. Some of us have some real things that we've been dealing with. For some of us, we've been alone too long. For some of us, we're addicted to pornography and we need to get honest and get help. Some of us, it's alcohol. It seems to be the thing that we always go to instead of running to God. We need to be honest about that. And we need to allow God to work that out and be honest with people and ask for help. For some of us, it's anger. For some of us, it could be depression. For some of us, it could be unforgiveness. I don't know. But I do know why God intended for us to work together with people. He always Listen to me. God always intended for you to be with people and to be accountable with people. James 5:16 tells us that. Says to notice what this verse says. You got to catch it. Confess your sins to each other. Notice God didn't say come back to him with it. He said, I want you to confess to each other. Notice when God created Adam, he didn't just stop with Adam. He realized it's not good for man to be alone. He needs a friend. So confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and it is effective. That word powerful, it's funny because in the Amplified it says it makes tremendous power available. And in the Greek, the word powerful is the word dunamis, which means explosive. So imagine what 2016 will look like if we will fully surrender who we are to God and realize my life is not my own. My life belongs to Jesus. Will you bow your heads right where you're at? Come on, 2016 will be the greatest year of your life if it's the best year of your life spiritually. And for many of us right now, we need to make the first decision and making Jesus Lord of all. I mean, Lord of everything. With every head bowed and all eyes closed for this moment, I'm just talking to you for a second because I'm telling you, God wants to do something in your life if you'll let him. He loves you. He's for you. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He's ready to embrace you. And if you're here right now and you say, man, that's me, or maybe for someone else, you knew God at one point, but you just seem to drift away from God. Today's the day to come back home and say, God, I'm going all in, God. Some of us need to make a decision today. And if that's you, in the count of three, I'm just going to ask you to lift up your hand. Don't be ashamed. Just say, man, Kyle, that's me. And we're going to pray a prayer together. On the count of three, come on, if that's you, without hesitation. One, two, three, all over this place. Come on, real high, real high, real high. Thank you, sir. Thank you in the back. Come on, real high. Thank you so much, man. Thank you. Come on, we're going to hang here just for a moment. Come on, if that's you and you say, man, that's me. I feel like there's a few more people that just need to respond today. Say, man, that's me. I want you to lift your hand up. Unashamed. Say, man, that's me. Thank you so much in the back. Awesome. Thank you so much. Amen. Other hands are going up. Awesome. We're going to pray this prayer together. I want you just to repeat this after me. Say, Jesus, you are amazing. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins, past, present, and future. I am new. I am new. And I thank you, God, for making me new. Jesus, I give you my life today. I surrender everything that I am. In Jesus' name. Now, here's how I want to end it. Right where you're at, just open up your hands right there in your lap. Now, Lord, we surrender this year. I speak your blessing on every family, every person right now, and we declare brand new lives. And God, lead us. We need your leadership in our life. So, Lord, give us the wisdom, give us the direction, and lead us into your plan and purpose in Jesus' name. And if you really believe it and receive that, come on, let's put our hands together for real. Come on, we bless you, God. We bless you, God.